and welcome back to WWE Pod. Mike James Wrestling. It's, I think, been nearly a year. The last time we spoke, Cody Rhodes was not world champion. Vince McMahon did not have a Netflix. And the last thing we knew that was Vince McMahon liked sex. Mike.
Yes, I think the fact that Vince McMahon liked sex was identified about 1996. But you make it very well before that. Obviously, he had children, and I'm guess. I mean, I'm not a dad, but I'm guessing that the sex is still moving on. But yes, Cody Rhodes. Our last show was in February, so Cody Rhodes was not the champion at that point. But Vince McMahon had been revealed to be a bit of a tit.
Well, yes,
which is also what he likes,
and other things. Yes, I was going to say, and other things involving
bosoms and poo and stuff. You probably shouldn't go too far into. Although it's a shame that no one said that to Vince at any point.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. I knew Vince is a lot of things, but I never thought scat would be one of them.
When you say scat, are we referring to poo, or do you mean he's a jazz singer?
Of course,
everyone knows that in between, like during the commercial breaks, if Vince was a commentator, he would frequently burst into the Scat Man by Scat Man Jones. Scat man, never, 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 sex.
Yes, absolutely. I imagine that one. That was his
foreplay song.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing he was very rapid because it was a very fast song.
Well, yeah, he was old. But then did it
make it through a whole verse?
Was he like warming up the oven? Do you think Blimp Vince needed the blue pill at this stage in his life?
I think it was designed for him. It's incredible. Why do you think SmackDown has a blue logo?
That's a good point. Yeah, 1999.
The timing fits.
Their timing very much. Good question. In 1999 to, let's say, 2002, what show did you prefer, SmackDown or Raw?
I've always been a Raw guy when it comes to WWE.
You've always been a Raw guy. That's all I need to know.
I've always been a Raw guy, which has so many meanings. And it also may partly explain why I'm still a shit cook.
It's coming to Netflix.
My cookery is coming to Netflix.
Yes, also Raw, but your cookery is obviously more that I'm more excited
about.
Am I
doing a cookery show on Netflix and no one's told me?
What should
we call it? WWE Poison.
WWE Poison, yep. I'm cooking with more vaginas.
Especially when you stuff a bird. Oh, God, that was so 70s. I'm sorry, everyone. That was so... Oh, I shouldn't have... It was so 1972. Way before either of us were born. We're both so young and innocent.
So, obviously, we've got a bit to talk about, but... You, obviously... What is, at the moment, in your opinion, right now, as of the 9th of November, 2024... AEW
in my
or WWE?
Opinion, at the moment, AEW. But,
okay,
there's a but to that. The but being that AEW, if you're in the UK, is a lot easier to access than WWE. So when we get to January and all the WWE programming goes to Netflix and I'll be able to see that and AEW easily, it'll be very interesting to see what my opinion is then. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think when I watch all the Raw stuff now on their YouTube channel to catch up with the clips. Because I have BT Sport. I've got Sport. But I don't have BT Sport. And I think that was in the UK, that was the worst thing WWE could have done. Yeah, I mean, Sky Sports, don't get me wrong, that's niche enough because that costs money. So you're quite hardcore to buy it. But it's obviously more popular than other paid sports channels that you've got to pay for, big money for. So going to BT Sport became more niche, and I think it damaged WWE. And you already always said, I think it's almost best to take the finance hit in terms of the TV numbers in the UK, unlike America, because they're big, but they're not American big, and then have it on ITV or Channel 4, you know, one of the big, or even Channel 5, one of the big five channels, the minute you make it free, like, hey, you really help the growth, even if it's just one of the
totally
two channels.
Totally agree. As you were getting out very, very nicely, you have less money short term, because obviously BT mm-hmm. Sky could offer more money, but the growth of the product is surely the more important thing. So when it's more accessible, yeah, I totally agree with you, yes.
Yeah, and I've never known, what they did, I remember that golden period where I didn't have Sky, and Channel 4 showed about 4 pay-per-views a year, including the Royal Rumble 2000, which I stayed up on and loved.
Sunday Night Heat, when it was still a thing, would be every Sunday on Channel 4 Afternoon.
Oh my
yes.
God.
It became a bit...
Sunday Night
it
Heat.
It became a bit... Sorry,
No, I remember Sunday Night Heat. I mean, like, okay, it didn't have the big people, but you had the Hardys, Lita, S.A. Rios, Al Snow, Steve Blackman. It was still
a great thing to watch. It became a bit of a little thing for me on Sunday in my teenage years. Finish my Sunday roast with the family, go watch Sunday Night Heat. Lovely. It was like 4 in the afternoon on a Sunday. But then, as you say, having the pay-per-views on Channel 4 was just wonderful. And you look back and realize that even more so how lucky we were to have some of those for free.
Yeah, I mean, what a deal Channel 4 made with them. And there was also, at that same time, I think in 1999, all the pay-per-views were free on Sky.
That's true. That's a good point as well. Yes, if you had Sky, you had access to Raw, SmackDown, and the pay-per-views. Absolutely right. And also, there's an interesting... let me see if I've got this right. I've completely forgot what I was about to say. It's completely left my head. I have a really good point about TV rights. It's totally gone. Oh, no, I've got it now.
Oh, no.
At that time, I didn't know this at the time, because obviously I was like 15. I don't understand how TV works in that regard. But on Sky Sports, football will always be the biggest ratings getter. Right, it's England, yes. Football is enormous, as it should be. But if I was right, the number one show on Sky Sports in the late 90s was football highlights, like match of the day style thing. Second was Raw, third was SmackDown.
Wow, I mean, that's something, is that a massive exclamation mark? Which is why I'm sort of excited about the Netflix deal, because a lot of people have Netflix. It is. It's only Raw that I understand.
I believe it's a lot. In the rest of the world, and it's only certain shows in America. That's what I think it is. Because I believe also, because a lot of the WWE Network content, some of it will go, but some of that will come to Netflix as well. So you'll probably be able to watch your WrestleMania's on Netflix, which sounds like a dream to me.
Yeah, Raw SmackDown actually will begin streaming on Netflix from January 2025, from October this year. Yeah. I've always thought that one of the best things WWE did was to have their WWE work with everything on, like every Raw, every SmackDown, every pay-per-view. The only thing the only thing I think they needed to do, because they keep killing them off, is have all of their documentaries on there, and that keeps dropping and changing.
Do they keep moving stuff? I didn't know that part.
Yeah. Do you remember the old 90s VHSs with The Rock, Know Your Role, and stuff
of
like
course.
That? I mean, yeah. It's such a shame that they don't. I don't know if they've got them on anymore. They used to have, even like Chris Jericho and stuff, because obviously they. The wrestlers go elsewhere and they obviously get a bit upset and take them at some point, which is kind of childish.
It is a bit,
And I always think it's so good to have those old school documentaries, because I think they were so much fun.
It was a beautiful thing. You had one that always sticks out in my head was, I don't know if anyone else will remember this VHS. If anyone does, email us at www.podcast@googlemail.com, because it was called Eve of Destruction. What I wondered. It was only like a 45-minute VHS, and it was highlights of WWE's most violent, bloodiest matches. Exactly. Oh. So it had stuff like that, obviously Mankind announcing a Hell in a Cell and really vicious stuff on there, with these really cool like late 90s like young rock bands that no one had heard of, including me, with their music in the background of the highlights. And I loved that video. And it was like little nuggets and gems like that that I loved as well.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
It was great. It was beautiful stuff.
Just a bit. Just a bit. Oh, my God.
As you know, I've always enjoyed the violent side of wrestling.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're coming, they're going back to now the pre-PG era, as in, like, they're not making it PG
anymore.
This is true,
especially when it goes, when Raw goes to Netflix. I don't know if they're going to take advantage of it at all. They might not, the WWE I'm talking about. But when Raw goes to Netflix, apparently it's going to be uncensored. They may do nothing with that, but you know what I mean? Because obviously not being on broadcast TV, you can get away with more, apparently.
That's interesting. But the problem, one of the problems they've got now is it's 2024 and a lot of their base are kids. Yes, in 1999, a lot of their base were kids. But it's a completely different, world now. I would rather them be uncensored and
yeah,
do that. And then you can have like maybe a PG version of Raw, which is censored for kids. Like, you know, which is kind of like available
the next day,
you know, on Monday morning. Yeah. To try and keep that. Having said that, I think you've agreed. I've always thought 3 hours is too long for a show.
Well, they've recently dropped an hour, haven't they? But we don't know if it's going to be permanent or not. 3 hours is too much.
I hope it is.
I hope so.
Two hours. Yeah, 2 hours was nice. I mean, even on Sky, watching it along with all the ridiculously long adverts, I think when you recorded, if you paused for all the adverts, it was like 30 something in total. I always thought 2 hours was really good. I mean, that's like as long as a film.
It's long enough to be a treat, like a film, like you say, but not so long that it's ridiculous. You know, when am I going to squeeze this in? That came out wrong. Vince said that. If you make every Raw 3 hours, and I've been saying this for a very long time, what the pay-per-views are less special.
Yep, they are less special. And, Mike, if you remember, they used to have a couple of times a year at the odd 3 hour show, and then at least that also, like the pay per view, would normally seem special, like a celebration show or something, you know, or Raw comes to Madison. And then you'd get excited about it because then that show bigger and it would be kind of like a halfway house between pay per view
and terms of quality. That kind of crazy.
Yes, yeah. Which is quite nice.
When they did Raw 1000. Which I love.
Yes.
I love it. At the time, they were still all 3 hours. But just think about it. If that one was 3 hours or the rest were two, that show would have seemed even more wonderful. It was a brilliant show, Raw. And also, the last time I watched a full episode of Raw, because I don't have access to Raw Weekly at present. Because as I think I said before, I watch all the AEW shows. Well, and that's it. I watch Dynamite every week and all the AEW pay-per-views. And I watch all the WWE pay-per-views as well. When Netflix comes, I have access to everything and I cannot fucking wait. But I remember the last Raw I watched this entirety was probably about a year and a half or so ago. It was Raw's 30th anniversary show. And I remember that being fantastic. But I also remember thinking, surely it can't be this good for 3 hours every week. So,
no, but
2 hours is a bit more digestible and easy to make good.
Right, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about WWE then. I'm going to go through the list of current champions because it has been a while.
Let's see who's got what. Let's see if I can name who's got what. How about that?
Well, this is going to be a test. Yeah. Let's separate. Let's go with SmackDown first. Okay, the undisputed WWE champion.
Cody Rhodes, of course.
Yes, it's Cody Rhodes. He's been doing really good.
He has.
I think. But then you are only as good as the opponents you face. So since WrestleMania, his peak, It's been entertaining. It's been good. It's better. The matches have been, I think, better than the eye-rolling Roman Reigns. I think, yes, the actual matches, they ended the same every time.
Yeah, I remember you hating that, yeah.
Well, I don't mind it.
Every time.
When you know... Yeah, it got to the point, didn't it, when you were just waiting for his little buddies to turn up. Because then you knew it was the end of the match.
It's just art running, yeah. Right? As soon as the running happens, it's the vinegar strokes of the match.
Yeah, and it just made my eye. And I think ultimately it kind of hurt Roman Reigns in a tiny bit because you're like, oh, he can't win. But that's part of the story. He can't win without his friends. But if you did it in like Brock Lesnar, Goldberg, I mean Brock Lesnar was kind of like a heel. He never needed anyone to help.
That's a very good point. That's a great point.
So I think he's done a really, really good job, but you're only as good as the tools you work with. And dare I say, I don't prefer Roman Reigns as champion. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong, because this guy's around all the time. But the storylines are maybe not as good as I hoped.
That's not wrong at all. I've enjoyed Cody Rhodes as just him being a champion is great. But I know what you mean. When you watch those pay-per-views, in my case, you kind of... When you watched Roman Reigns defending the belts, right? Each match, mm-hmm. whether he was going to win or lose, because you could usually tell beforehand style thing, it felt like a big deal and a big event. Cody Rhodes, I love him being champion. I love the fact that he's there all the time. This may sound counterintuitive. But the matches don't feel like so must. See, oh my god, I can't wait.
They're not like big events. Like, yeah, no, you're right. Cause the one thing they do with Roman Reigns is quite often they'd build the event up and it would feel more epic. And you can go as far back as things like Clash of the Castle with Drew McIntyre. That felt, and I'm not being biased, but the build up seemed to be epic. And to be fair to WWE, the way they built it up now and again. And in hindsight, it probably was silly. You almost thought, oh, there's a chance. And then,
Could you argue, though, that the reason you always thought there was a chance is because you knew he couldn't win without interference, and therefore what they were doing made sense? Maybe.
Yeah, okay. So, from I've not been disappointed, being underwhelmed, but
5% less than you hoped, that kind of thing?
Yeah, 5% less than I... Yeah, yes, exactly. It kind of feels like when you go to your favourite restaurant, a lovely meal, but it just wasn't as good as the last few times.
You have that meal the first time, you're like, this is brilliant, I'm going to come every few weeks, and then you go again, still good, but you know.
Yeah, okay. WWE Women's Champion on SmackDown.
On SmackDown, give me a minute. I know who it is on Raw. Oh, God, it's Nia Jax. Is it not Nia Jax?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, I see.
Oh, dear. Why did they bring her back? No. I mean, she's right on the mic. She's all right. No. I just think there's many more people that are deserving of that title.
She's returned, though? What about that?
She has got better. Yes. But I'd almost... But I still think she's rubber. I mean, she's already hurt people, hasn't she, since she's come back?
I didn't realise.
Yeah, apparently.
When you say hurt people, do you mean she's just a bit vicious with her insults? Like, oh, look at her. Is she more of a bit... Did he physically...
What it is, 2024, and hurty words mean you can go to prison, doesn't it?
This is true.
These days on Facebook and stuff.
I nearly went to prison when I... what did I do? I told a candle that it was getting on my wick. And you can play through HR.
Yeah. Oh my God. To be fair, though, that joke itself was quite entertaining the entire run of Nia Jax.
Oh, hello. And it wasn't even a very good joke.
There you go, then. She defeated Bayley at SummerSlam. Oh, dear. I don't know. I mean, if you're going to bring it back, I'd much rather have her in a bodyguard to a heel who keeps on winning type role,
true,
maybe.
How long do you do that for before people start to go give her the belt?
Until Nia Jax's contract runs out and she can go.
Fair enough. James, not a fan. Fair enough.
I think she's better this time around, but it's kind of like, once again, it's no one wanted.
Fair enough.
I mean, she doesn't get that much of, I, for the brief times I've seen her, she don't get that much. For me, she doesn't get an amazing.
Well, that's a good point.
Compared.
She's a heel. Yeah. She should be booed out. The heel champion should be booed out of the building, and she isn't.
But she's not. I don't. From what I've seen, you've probably seen her. I don't even think she gets booed that point. Much.
Exactly. I agree with you that she doesn't get booed out of the building, yeah. But she should be if she's going to be in that spot.
She should be. When you compare the storylines between the females on Raw, that seems to be better. But we'll get into that in a bit. Yeah. For me,
fair enough.
I don't care. Yeah, I know that sounds good. Okay,
is it LA Knight?
It is LA Knight. He defeated Logan Paul at SummerSlam. Really, really good match. Should he have a title by now?
Well, world title. One. You know what? It's LA Knight. I feel like he should actually, because I feel like that they should have pulled the trigger on him and given him a world title about 6 months to next 6 to 9 months ago. I think they've missed the boat a bit.
Yeah, it almost reminds me, albeit a completely different wrestler, of the Jeff situation.
Yes. When
he won the title 6 to 12 months later than he should have done.
I know, exactly. And also, it's a bit of a Kurt Angle. No, Samoa Joe was in TNA. He was so hot, and they waited a year too long. Give him a big belt.
Yeah, they did. Mm. They did. Yep, and they'd already defeated him at that point with Kurt Angle, didn't they?
Yes, that is true. He was not an unbeaten champion. That's a great point, too. Which would have meant even more.
If you in hindsight, I know that was Kurt Angle's big first match. I almost feel in hindsight that probably should have been a Bound for Glory pay-per-view if you were going to make Kurt Angle win and have Samoa Joe have his first loss or something.
Or maybe have Kurt Angle's first opponent just be someone else. And then
that would have made it a lot more
sense. 6 months in, Angle wins the belt, and then they build to an undefeated Joe beating Angle.
Yeah, and that one of their big pay. Yeah, that would have been amazing.
Itself.
So you've got the tag team champion.
The tag team champion on SmackDown, I believe, and this is going to make a lot of our listeners very happy. Is the Motor City Machine Guns.
Yes, once we met all the in 2009.
Who would have thought we'd ever be saying that Motor City Machine Guns world champions in the WWE? How things change.
Brilliant. I mean. Brilliant. They only won it, I think, in October, so less. Well, we're talking like two weeks ago, but still.
In their third match, they won it.
Fantastic. So, there we go. So that's SmackDown done. Really, really solid. I mean, I think they've got an amazing mid-card champion, the mid-card champion, and the best top-card champion in Cody Rhodes.
I'd agree with that. I'm a fan of the Raw World Champion, which we'll get to in a minute, but I prefer Cody.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, yeah. When I'm comparing those two World Champions, I'm talking about, you can make an argument for both, and I don't think many people would
be
upset.
I agree with that as well. Most of us agree.
But let's talk about... Yeah, let's talk about the World Heavyweight Champion.
You mean Gunther?
I know. I'm so happy for him.
Deserves.
I just hate... I mean, he won it. Won it against Damian Priest at SummerSlam. What did you think of Damian Priest's run as champion?
I found Damian Priest as champion a bit dull. But it seemed like a minority, because slowly but surely the crowd started to love him. So I thought it was a bit dull. Mm-hmm. I think that should be a nice reign in some form.
Oh, I was you.
It must have been when you were kissing me. Meatloaf, don't have your part, ladies and gentlemen.
He should have been the one to defeat Damian Priest in some cool storyline at SummerSlam, maybe.
Or maybe Gunther should have. Maybe LA Knight should have won it instead of Priest, and then Gunther beat Knight.
That would have been amazing. I mean, we wouldn't have got that quite solid Paul Logan, you know, Logan Paul match, Paul Logan. But yeah.
Archer.
Now, what are they going to do with Gunther? I think it'll be a long reign, at least until WrestleMania.
Easily until Mania, yes. I mean, I suspect, and I don't think I'm alone in this, everyone else is out, that Gunther will hold the belt till Mania. I think he will have a match against Cena for it, with the obviously everyone thinking we'll see the win and break the record, but then Gunther will retain as a passing of the torch.
Oh, that would legit upset me. But yes, but I couldn't. In hindsight, a year from now, looking back at that, if that was result, it would make
it make a lot of sense. I know that you've always adored Cena, and who doesn't? But yeah.
But it would make perfect sense. Sense
in passing the reins to the next generation.
Yeah, like yeah. I mean, a really good world champion. Not in terms of like marketing, worldwide appeal.
Sure.
Not quite Cody Rhodes, but
he doesn't have a crossover appeal, that kind of thing.
Mm. No, but they've built him up to be quite the badass. Wonderful. He doesn't have the looks of a Brock Lesnar or anyone like that, but kind of like Taz in ECW, you believe the way they've done it. He's a badass, and let's be honest, Taz, he looked like a badass. He wasn't the tallest wrestler in the world, but the way they booked him when he came out, you're like, oh my god,
someone's going to kick ass. Yes.
And that's what you feel that what they've done with Gunther. Which
do you think eventually
brilliant.
We're going to get a chant of Gunther's going to kill you? I love it.
Yes, I really want that. Yeah,
he feels absolutely unbeatable. Which, as you said, they built him so fantastically. And he's performed so well.
Yeah,
in that
completely
role.
Agree. Yeah. So we've gone from one good. We've gone from Gunther to the women's world champion.
Liv
who's
Morgan.
That, Mike?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are we seeing peak Liv Morgan at the moment? Yeah. That storyline with obviously Rhea Ripley and obviously that dirty,
filthy
child,
filthy evil.
Yes, filthy Dom. I think is Dom's such a weasel, but in a good way. He played brilliantly. I think at no point did I think after watching Clash of the Castle with that heel turn, no point did I think it would last this long or be this good.
I know exactly what you mean. I'm still not convinced by Dominic Mysterio in the ring, personally. But as a personality, as someone who gets natural heat, he's very, very fucking effective. He's really good in that role.
He is. He's a heat. Yeah, he is a heat magnet, isn't he?
And clearly
in a good way.
Magnet as well.
Yeah. Yeah, and Liv Morgan, what I like about Liv Morgan is what they've done. I don't always like the screw finishes, but what I like about her is a lot of the opponents, the faces, the way they booked it, she's very in the ring, but you kind of think, oh, what is Liv going to, you kind of think, oh, they should really be able to defeat Liv or it'll be close. And something happened, which I like, but doing too much of it, and Roman Reigns will get what I think of me. But I think what they've done is, I can't see them doing any better.
I think,
done so good.
Yeah, I think they packaged so well, and it's been a great resurgence for her. Because originally, when she won the belt the first time, like a couple of years back, she was like the sentimental favourite, wasn't she? The crowd loved her. But they've really turned her into this, like, I don't want to say monstrous heel, but I mean, they built her well, and she's relishing that opportunity to be a focal point. And she's doing it well. She's doing a good job.
Mm-hmm.
We've been very positive today. Yeah. It's lovely.
It is lovely. Yeah. No, but I think she's doing a really, really good job. I know Rhea Ripley's kind of injured at the moment, for real, I think.
Is she hurt again?
I don't know. I remember reading somewhere that she might. Anyway, I mean, Rhea Ripley is to the point now where she doesn't. Excuse me. She doesn't need the title.
But also the thing is, I don't know what else they can do with her. It feels like she's already done everything.
Would you, at Mania maybe, get her to have a match with Dom?
I'd love that. That would be great. To see him get his ass handed to him by Rhea Ripley, the crowd would be begging for it.
It would be. And that would be, I mean, not like a main event, but that would be one of like the semi-main events of Mania,
absolutely,
wouldn't it?
Absolutely, they could so do that. They could maybe have Rhea Ripley enter both the men's and women's Royal Rumbles and have a bit of a face-off with Dom in the men's one.
Oh, exactly. That's how you build it up. That would be amazing.
Why are we not at the creative team, Triple H?
I know. I know they separate men and women now, and you don't have men attacking the women because, but the women can attack the men, which is, I think, weird in terms of, like, It's kind of like, yeah,
it's a curious thing, isn't it? That there's a society, well, not society thing, but within wrestling, it's kind of one is not quite as bad as it's a strange thing. Anyway, moving on.
It is, and I understand why they do it, but I think for those really big humours like the Dudleys throwing
me off the table.
I think for those in which they're kind of, I think they've done still in the past, but they steered away from it a lot of the time. I think it to get someone's heat, yeah, it is not too bad. And then for a woman to do it back then, it's amazing. I remember, what that match was, Lita against the Man? It was a tag team match, and Lita versus the Man with 1,000 holds.
That's Lita and Dean Malenko?
Yeah.
I don't think I remember that.
They had a storyline, I think, and Lita. I think it was a mixed tag match. Paphia and Lita pinned him, which is, nice. But it was quite cool. Where they did it, but I'd be well up for Rhea Ripley versus Dirty Dom. So the Intercontinental Champion,
Bron Breakker. Oh
yes, he defeated Jey Uso on Raw.
I got lost my streak there.
I've got one question for you though. Before we get into Bron Breakker, did they do Sami Zayn dirty or not? Do you think? I'll leave it to you.
You know what? I don't think they did Sami Zayn dirty. I think what is with Zayn held it till I think July originally, and then Breakker won it, but then he lost it and won it back. The person I think they've screwed, if they've screwed anyone, is Jey Uso.
He was like, they did the Edge on him, didn't they? When Edge won the title the first time,
he won it randomly for 10 minutes and then lost it. He's called Main Event Jey Uso. You built him as a top guy, and then, it's a bit weird.
They're
now having involved in the Bloodline stuff again, which makes sense. But because they're doing that, why give him the Intercontinental belt to begin with? He's just going to lose it quickly, and as you say, look like a tit. It made very little sense to me.
No, I completely agree. So, what do you think is Bron Breakker as the Intercontinental champion, though?
Bron Breakker is like a machine. He looks so fucking impressive, but I think him holding that belt makes sense because it's building up the next big star. But I do wonder one thing. I think WWE Creative are having trouble deciding whether he should be a face or a heel. That's what is across the moment. To me, he's a natural baby face. Because he's so impressive in the ring, but they're presenting him as a heel because he's going against Sami Zayn and such. And I just find that a bit puzzling.
Are they going to go down the Kurt Angle route where they made him a heel at first and then he just became cool? And at that point, he became so good that even if he was a heel, people would cheer him.
I suspect that's exactly what they're doing now you mentioned it. Yeah, they're going to get to the point where you can't help but cheer him because he's so fucking good. That makes sense.
Yeah, because he's so good in the ring.
Makes sense. I think him holding the belt is a good move.
So, moving on then, the tag team champion, world tag team champion.
I think I know who this is, but I might fuck this up. And if so, if I get this, I've got the lot, I think, in terms of the big belts. Is it JD McDonagh and Finn Balor?
Yay! The Judgment Day. They defeated the Awesome Truth on Raw, didn't they? They've held it, I think, since June 2024.
They've defended it, twice.
This is the thing. WWE seems to go through periods of not giving it about the world tag team or either tag team champions. They've never been up there ever since ever since Mania when the Jey Uso's lost against Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, and that was peak. And now, I mean, it just fit the storyline. It was amazing. It ended up being a WrestleMania main event on a Saturday, which was amazing. It was arguably the best match of that Mania every year ago.
And
we've never even got, understandably, I get we haven't reached that peak again, but in terms of interest, we've never even got 50% close to that peak.
It's almost like since the Usos lost it, it's like, right, back to normal business where we don't give a shit.
You're right. And it almost makes, I know it's not going to happen, but it almost makes sense that there's one world tag team belt with the amount of legit standard teams you care about. I don't think there's enough belts.
Sadly, you're absolutely right. But at the same time, if you have just one belt between the two shows and everything else, a brand has its own belt. It feels a bit
doesn't make sense
to me.
I know. It doesn't make sense. I completely agree.
It would make sense talent-wise, because of what you're saying, because there's not a hell of a lot of big teams. But, I don't know, it would just feel messy to have one belt, but everything else is separate. So what do you do?
Yeah.
I tell you what you do. You build up a decent tag team division and care about it.
Yeah.
But they don't.
Yeah. So three more left, and we'll go through quickly. They got the WWE Speed Championship. What the hell is that?
Yes, it's
remind me.
I think it's a bit. It's like a YouTube only show, and I don't know exactly what it is. Is it like a cruiserweight belt? I've never seen a speed match.
Yeah.
Apart from maybe Kurt Angle may have had some speed matches back in the day. If you know what I mean. Is it Andrade?
Yeah, Andrade's got it for the men, and Candice LeRae has got it for the women. But the problem is, it's kind of like no one cares. And I'm not saying that for me. I'm saying that I think generally, and no, it's a bit sad.
Hits and views on YouTube, apparently. But at the same time, it feels like an undercard. It's like an undercard to the undercards.
You said. If the undercard had an undercard, that would be the champion. Yeah. Yeah, that's brilliant, yeah. And last but WWE Tag Teams Women's Champion.
Champions. Oh, I forgot about that. All right. I think that's Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill.
Yay! Okay. I know we're finishing soon, but what is your opinion now on Jade Cargill in the WWE?
I find Jade Cargill... In WWE, I think she's being handled and used very well.
Good.
The weird thing is, though, because she's being used better than she was in AEW, arguably. But, of course, the only reason that she's a big deal in WWE is because AEW built her reasonably well to begin with. But I think she's being used well. Yes. Like, clearly, eventually, there's going to be some kind of turn with Bianca. I think you can feel that coming, but I think they're using her well. But the groundwork was laid for them. I'll say that.
Yeah, have some kind of turn maybe at the Royal Rumble, in the Women's Royal Rumble. Last little storyline there, and then it just and then it carries on to Mania, and they have a match at Mania maybe.
Again, writes itself, or we do. I'm sure they're doing it anyway.
And you are right. Yeah, and she's that big because of the Bill Goldberg-esque push they gave her on AEW, and which is one she did come in. She does look impressive. She is okay on the mic. She's not bad. Okay, she's not saying that, but she's not terrible. She's not bad. And I think Bianca Belair is brilliant.
Bianca Belair is one of those people who again doesn't have the crossover appeal, but she does have the whole package as a wrestler. She does.
She very much does. So I'm looking for that. So I think. As we're ending now, I think WWE is in a place.
I agree, it is a good place. And we should mention this briefly before we go, right? Because as I say, WWE is in a good place. I think AEW is, the product, I think, is still very good, right?
Well, what I think we do next time is we go through all of AEW champions.
Sure, let's say it's a good idea. That's a great idea, yes.
Yeah. And then we can actually give it justice.
And that's a great idea. Yes, we'll get more to AEW, the highs and lows, the pros and cons next week. Because I love it. But as you say, there are some bits that are slightly puzzling. But we'll get to that another time.
There you go. Mike, take it away.
I think I'm going to sing it out. I don't know what. Let's go to it. Whoa. Everything I do for you. If anyone knows what that song is, because it's very obscure, email us at www.podcast@googlemail.com. Until then, ladies and gentlemen, keep watching wrestling, shoot for the moon, and reach for the sky. Bye.
Monday Night Raw, the WWE, Sports Entertainment, the state of Florida, the country of the United States.